This morning we are going to a place that we've not been in for a while. We're turning to the Old Testament, to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 23. If you're ordinarily here on Sunday morning, you'll know that we went through the Psalms in anticipation for Christmas, at least a few of them. And in the new year, I'll be returning to a study in Galatians, which again, I look forward to. But this morning, we're going to look back at our last year through the lens of Joshua chapter 23. It comes at a critical time in the life of Israel. And as they use this to look back this morning, we're going to do the same thing, to think together about what it is that God has done and what that means for what is coming in the future. So Joshua chapter 23, I'll begin reading at verse 1 and read through the whole chapter, just so I can give you a sense of where we're going when we get to verses 14, 15, and 16. Just pay special attention there, because that's where we're going to focus our attention this morning. From Joshua 23, this is the word of God. "A long time afterward, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their surrounding enemies, and Joshua was old and well advanced in years, Joshua summoned all Israel, its elders and heads, its judges and officers, and said to them, 'I am now old and well advanced in years, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. For it is the Lord your God who has fought for you. Behold, I have allotted to you as an inheritance for your tribes those nations that remain, along with all the nations that I have already cut off, from the Jordan to the great sea in the west. The Lord your God will push them back before you and drive them out of your sight, and you shall possess their land just as the Lord your God promised you. Therefore, be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right hand nor to the left, that you may not mix with these nations remaining among you, or make mention of the names of their gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you shall cling to the Lord your God, just as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out before you great and strong nations. And as for you, no man has been able to stand before you to this day. One man of you puts to flight a thousand, since it is the Lord your God who fights for you, just as he promised you. Be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. For if you turn back and cling to the remnant of these nations remaining among you and make marriages with them so that you associate with them and they with you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out those nations before you, but they shall be a snare and a trap for you, a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from off this good ground that the Lord your God has given you. And now I am about to go the way of all the earth, and you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you, not one of them has failed. But just as all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you have been fulfilled for you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the evil things until he has destroyed you from off this good land that the Lord your God has given you. If you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land that he has given to you." This is the word of God. You cannot help at the end of a year, and we're very close to the end of a year, to think back over what that year has included. Just to test your memory for a moment, can you remember what has happened in 2021? Can you remember, for example, that by August 30, the U.S. military had withdrawn from Afghanistan? You might say, sure, I remember that. That was very significant. Can you remember that in July of this year, gunmen acting like U.S. DEA agents killed the president of Haiti? Or do you remember that just a month later in Haiti, there was a 7.2 magnitude earthquake that killed over 2,200 people? Did you remember that? Or do you remember that in the summer of this year, the 2020 Olympics were held in 2021 in Tokyo without any spectators at all? Or do you remember even earlier in January of this year, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the Super Bowl, the first team to do that in their own home stadium? Or do you remember that on July 8th, the Champlain Towers in Surfside, Florida collapsed, killing scores of people? Did you remember that? Or did you remember that Hurricane Ida hit the southern U.S. in August of this year? How many of those things did you remember? How quickly our memory fades once an event has occurred. Or maybe you would say to me, Pastor, those weren't the big news items of 2021. The big news item of 2021, and the reason my mind doesn't have room for all of those things, is because COVID continues in our world. Maybe that's true. Maybe COVID has so dominated our minds that we forget about other things. And maybe because of COVID, you think to yourself, if 2021 has been recognized by many people, maybe you even, as the year that you'd like to forget, the worst year ever, 2021 is a good second to 2020, because in 2021, COVID was still here. And really what you'd like to do is look back over this year and think, I don't want to remember anything about it at all. I just like it to fade. Let's get on to the next year because it's bound to be better than what we lived through. What I want to say to you this morning is don't do that. Don't skip over what has happened in this last year. Because in the last year, there have been not only these whole number of things that have happened, current events, we call them, and of course, COVID, still part of our collective experience. But the events of life tell us something very important about ourselves and the God who is in control of everything that occurs. And therefore, just as these people in Joshua chapter 23 were commanded to remember their history, we are commanded to remember our history as well. Because that history teaches us about something that is important. It teaches us about God. This morning I would encourage you, as we look at verses 14, 15, and 16, not to forget what has happened. Because if you forget, you will miss something about God Himself. Don't forget what has happened in order to look forward. And there are three things I want to point out to you about not forgetting what has come before in order to look forward. And the first of them has to do with the nature of the promises that God has given us in His Word. If you look there to verse 14, you'll notice that Joshua talks to the Israelites, God's people, about the nature of God's promises. And the way he describes those promises is this way. None of those words, none of those promises have failed, ever. Not a single one. You can look at that in verse 14. I'll read it again for you in case you've forgotten. He says, not one word has failed of all the things that the Lord your God has promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you, not one of them has failed. Literally, the failed in this verse is not the word that we might use if you go to take a test and you get the test back. Some of you college students home for the break have not received all your grades yet. Imagine you took that test and you were a little anxious going in, and then you see the test score posted. And it turns out that you didn't do well at all. In fact, you failed. I'm smiling while I'm saying that because that wasn't me, thankfully. There's a failure. I was supposed to do something and I didn't do it well enough. I'm sorry if that happened to you, but that's not the idea that is here. It is not failure. Literally, the word that is here is a word for falling. And to illustrate that for you, I want you to go with me in our minds to the precipice of the Grand Canyon. Imagine you're standing there if you've ever visited. It's kind of a strange and stark thing. You drive along and all of a sudden there is the most massive hole in the ground that you've ever thought about. Imagine you're standing there on the edge, right on the edge. And for some strange reason, before you left for your great trip to the Grand Canyon, you have taken your most favorite, your favorite, Christmas ornament off your tree, the glass Christmas ornament that goes back many, many generations. You took that along with you, and you're holding that in your hand. And for some reason, as you're standing there next to the Grand Canyon, right at the edge, you let that glass ornament go. Imagine looking over the side and watching that thing go down, down, down until it reaches the point of impact and smashes into a million pieces. Let me tell you this morning, there's no way you're putting that back together, is it? The falling has smashed any hope of recovery. And when Joshua is talking to the people of Israel in verse 14, he's talking about the promises of God in a similar kind of way. Imagine that a promise of God was dropped off the side of a cliff like that glass ornament. It goes down and down and down. Once it reaches the bottom, it smashes into 1,000 pieces. Joshua says that would be like the promise of God if he ever failed. It's like dropping that and it smashes. There's no way to put it back together. It is done for. It is over. He says, but that has never happened to any one of you. That is not what has happened to God's promises. If you go back to Genesis 12 and 15 and 17, where God promised to Abraham that he would create a people and from that people would be a nation, and that nation he would care for, he would make his own, he would love, protect, and care for. Joshua could say to the people of Israel at this point, that promise to God, promise of God to you has not failed. That promise is certain, it is true. Now to understand why that is true, I simply want to recount for you, as I have not done yet, what is happening here prior to the words that we read in Joshua chapter 23. It doesn't take a genius, but I'm going to point it out anyway. There's only one more chapter in the book of Joshua. And at this point in the book of Joshua, these Israelites have come to a point where the promised land is here. The promised land, the land that God said to Abraham, look out and see that land. You see all of that? I'm going to give that to your descendants. And it was the kind of promise that Abraham could hardly believe. So grand was that promise. And then the Israelites went through all kinds of difficulties on the way to that promise being fulfilled. Imagine the Israelites being taken captivity into Egypt and struggling for years in Egypt before they were given their freedom through the 10 plagues. And imagine those Israelites where they were let out. And they went through the Red Sea. Imagine those Israelites wandering around in the desert and complaining and failing over and over and over again. God had brought the Israelites through trial and travail, through the crossing of the Jordan, the city of Jericho, Achan, Ai, all the stories that we find in Joshua and preceding books. And now he says to the Israelites, look back over all those things that have happened in your past. Has one promise of God ever failed, even one? And the answer of the Israelites, as they look back, would have to be absolutely not. No, God has kept every single one of those promises. Not one promise has failed. There are no falling words to God. No failing promises. Everything he says, he keeps. I want to extend that truth this morning for you as you think about the falling promises of God. They're true not only for the Israelites, but they're also true and the other places that we read in the scriptures. There are no falling words of God, both before Joshua chapter 23, but after Joshua 23 and all the scriptures as well. If you think to the oldest promise that is found in the scriptures, you go back to Genesis 3 verse 15. There God says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is a word of promise. God is going to do something. He is going to put enmity between two lines, and it's an enmity that is strife between two lines for a good purpose. He is going to cause conflict to occur between the line of his faithful people who will eventually result in Jesus, and then the evil one who means to wreak havoc in his world. And do you know what happened to that promise? If you read in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20, and here I want to note this to you very clearly. The Bible says all the promises of God in Him, that in Jesus Christ, are yes and amen to the glory of God through us. The biggest promise the Bible contains is that God would send His Son into this world to undo the effects of sin, to set us free from our captivity, to eventually drive out all of sin and its effects in this world. And the Bible says in the coming of Jesus, the greatest promise in Genesis 3:15 has been fulfilled, so that the no falling words that we find here in Joshua 23, that the promises of God are sure. We have seen that not only in the record of the Israelites, we also celebrate that in the coming of Jesus Christ. No falling words. You have to remember, think back over what God has done. And when you do, you will see no falling words, no failing promises. God is faithful. But maybe at this point you say, Pastor, that is all found in the Bible. And I have my own life, one in which there have been disappointments and difficulties. And I wonder if these no failing words, no falling promises of really applies to me. Maybe you've had things that are very disappointing to you. You've prayed for someone for many, many years, and you've not seen the answer to those prayers. Maybe you have great longings in your heart for something to happen, and that longing has not been fulfilled. Maybe it's a struggle against something that you've battled for years and years, and that battle is not being won. At least it appears that way to you. How do we know that the promises of God, the promises that will not fail, actually apply to us? Is God really faithful? That's the question. I think, for example, that a week ago, we were praying for Gwen Elliott, and yesterday, as I noted in our intercessory prayer, Gwen Elliott died and went from this life to the next. Did the promises of God fail for Gwen Elliott? And the answer I would give to you is absolutely not. In fact, the last time I visited her, I read to her two passages, one from Romans 8, the other from Psalm 23. Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what does it say? I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Romans 8:28. And the words that come after that, Romans 8:31 asks, what shall separate us from the love of God? And then it goes through all kinds of things. Arriving at, can death itself separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Can death itself break the promise of God that He will be with us always? The answer emphatically is no, not even death can do that. No, the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus our Lord, the promise that led to Jesus, is a promise that extends to us, that Jesus is with us always, even from this life into the next. So let me say to you this morning that if you live your life looking at things that have happened and you say, God has failed His promises to me, I'd say to you, reconsider. Maybe the answer to those problems that you're facing, those things that you're mulling over, the answer are not what you anticipate. Those answers are not what you expect. But God is still with you. God is still at work. He has not left you. He has not abandoned you. Just as certainly as He led the Israelites to the Red Sea into this promised land, God is leading you through the Red Sea of your existence, and He will bring you into the promised land, right? Is that not true? The promise of God, the promises of God cannot fail. They will not fall to the ground. They will not be shattered. They will not apply to others and leave you behind. No, the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. As certainly as Jesus has arrived, so certain is His promise to you. God is with you. so that I can say, as I've said already, rather emphatically, don't forget what has come before you, so that you will see that there are no falling words. But I want to ask with you now, because of the verses that we're thinking about here in Joshua chapter 23, there are no falling words, but how do we know that we can count on that being true? How do we know that the no falling words that Joshua has said to the Israelites also will remain sure and true forever? I want you to look at verse 15. Verse 15 says, "But just as all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you have been fulfilled for you, so the Lord your God will bring upon you." And then he goes on to talk about the other side of that promise. I want to leave the other side of that promise for just a moment. What I want to focus on is that Joshua says the promise maker guarantees the promise. Not only are there no failing words, no falling words, no promises that will be broken, the reason Joshua says that's true is because of the God who speaks that promise. All of you know in your own existence how the person who speaks the promise makes all the difference in whether or not you think that promise will be kept. Maybe you grew up in a home where your parents promised you things that did not follow through. And it didn't take you very long to realize that even though they said they were going to do it, they never did. But then maybe you've had a friend, a good and faithful friend, somebody who you could rely and trust in, who spoke a promise to you, said, "I will do it," and then actually does it. Or maybe you grew up in a home where your parents were faithful, and when they said they were going to do something, they actually did it. In this passage, Joshua is saying to the Israelites, these no falling words are guaranteed because of the character of our God. It is not just a person, a failing person, a weak person, a finite person who speaks these promises to you. This is God who speaks. And friends, if it's God who speaks, then I want you to know that these words, these promises themselves cannot fail. Let me run very quickly through the places in the scripture that connect the character of God with the promises that he gives to us. Again, I want to point you to Genesis 12 and 15, specifically Genesis 15. Here we have one of those accounts that may be hard for us to understand. In Genesis 15, God is promising Abraham again that he will be a God who keeps his promise, that he will give to him a land, a people, an inheritance. And in Genesis 15, at the end of that passage, God appears, it says, as a smoking pot and a burning torch. And why does God appear that way? Because he is going through the ratification process of a covenant. A covenant is an arrangement between two human beings. You promise something, the other party promises something, you agree together to keep those promises to each other. In this particular case, Abraham is entering a covenant with God, but it is not Abraham who guarantees that that covenant will be kept, that the promises to do certain things will be kept by him. No, in Genesis 15, God is the one who says, not only am I going to keep my part of the covenant, I'm going to keep yours as well. It's just not you. It's God who says, I will do your part as well. And therefore, Joshua can point out to the people of God that the promises of God must be rooted in God and his person and not in ours. His promises to his people, his promises to you are yes and amen. They will not fail, not because you are faithful enough, but because God is. What's going to give certainty to your life? Is it going to be that you're going to work better? You're going to do more this coming year in 2022, you're going to be a better person than you were before? Is that what is going to give certainty to your life? Look back over 2021 or 2020, you're going all the way back. How faithful have you been to what you have said that you would do? No, if the promises of God to care and to keep you are based on your faithfulness to him, then friend, you're in trouble. No, the faithfulness of God is rooted in the very character of God, that he does not change, he has not, and he will never change. And because of that, the faithful promises of God are promises that you can depend on, you can rest on, you can look forward to in the year that comes. Which brings me to the third thing that Joshua talks about in these verses. No falling words, no fickle God. And then the third thing he says is, therefore, no unfaithful people. Now to those words that I ended with just a short time ago in verse 15, but it says, so the Lord will bring upon you all the evil things until he has destroyed you from off this good land that the Lord your God has given you, if you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. And then he says, and you go and worship other gods and you serve other people. What will God do? He will cause his anger to be kindled against you, and you will perish quickly off the good land that he has given you. Oh, my word, you say, that does not sound very hopeful for 2022. That the same God who has never failed and kept every promise, because those promises are rooted in his character, this God says, if we're unfaithful to him, if we do not do what we're supposed to do, he will bring his anger against us and he will punish us. Well, understand, that's what it's saying here in Joshua chapter 23. That's true. That's exactly what it says. In fact, if you doubt whether or not that's true, all you have to do is fast forward a number of generations in the nation of Israel. And what happened to the Israelites? They were unfaithful to God, and God took them into captivity. He sent them into Assyria and Babylonia, and they were under the control of the Chaldeans. And it's not until they come back in Nehemiah's time as a small remnant that the Israelite nation had any semblance of existence. One of the things that I want you to see from this passage is that when God says, if you turn away from me, God means he is very clear in saying these promises will then apply to you. What promises? That his anger will be kindled against you. Maybe that again sounds harsh and difficult, but I want you to hear it and hear it clearly. The promises of God are not just, okay, whatever you want to do and whoever you are, that's fine with me. It doesn't matter. No, his covenant promises cut both ways. Let me explain that to you. What Joshua is doing here in Joshua 23 is recording and recounting what happens in Deuteronomy 28 verse 45. There in Deuteronomy 28, God is spelling out for the Israelites through Moses' words what would happen to the Israelites if they were to turn away from their God. It says, they will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. Can you imagine that God says to you this morning, I am a faithful God. None of my promises have failed. Then he says, the reason none have failed is because I am a faithful God. They are rooted in my character. I can no more break my word than cease being God. And then he says to you, now look at your own heart. If you are not faithful to me, I will bring curses upon you. I will cause you to be objects of wrath and scorn. You may think to yourself, what in the world are you saying, Pastor? That my future is dependent on my faithfulness to God? Well, in a sense, yes. But I want to explain to you how that is true. What I do not want to do is cut off the seriousness of what Joshua is saying to his people. This is serious. For many of us, we think about religion simply as an optional thing. If it's for you, go ahead, believe it. If it's not for you, there's tons of alternatives. That's not what God is saying. That would be like saying God himself is a lightweight. He's unimportant. He has spoken. The God of the universe has spoken. And if you happen to believe what he says, good for you. If you don't, it makes no difference. That's not what God is saying. He is saying there is one God and only one God. This is the creator of heaven and earth. He has sent his own son to die for those who would believe in him. And if you reject that, friends, you're in trouble. I don't want to in any way sugarcoat that. That's the truth. You are in trouble. But let's say that you do believe in Jesus Christ. And you look at this and you say, well, does that apply to me in the same way? That if I am not faithful to God in every way, the anger of God will come upon me. What I would say to you, friend, is sometimes Christians say that. In fact, they use that in order to manipulate people into doing what ought to be done. It's sort of like a grand crowbar, threats, shame, guilt, in order to work people into doing the kinds of things that ought to be done. That's not what God is doing here. What God is saying to the Israelites, as he is saying to you this morning, is that there is a sharp point of demarcation between those who believe in God and those who do not. There's a difference between those who trust in Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of the promises that are issued in his word, and those who do not. In fact, it is not too much for me to say that all of humanity belongs to one of two groups. You're in one or the other. If you believe in the promises of God as fulfilled in Jesus Christ, or you do not. And if you do not, as the Israelites demonstrated as a people that they did not, then the curses that are found here in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and Joshua 23 apply to you. And I say that with no qualification and no hesitancy. But there is also an alternative. And that is for those who do believe in Jesus Christ. For those who see the fulfillment of God's promises in Jesus and cling to Jesus. Your future is not dependent on faithfulness to God in every respect. One failure and everything shatters. Your life is being held so tenuously that if you disobey God one time, you fall to the floor of the Grand Canyon and all is shattered. That's not what God is saying to you this morning. Some of you may feel that way. Some of you may even have been told that is true for you. But it's not. Instead, what I would say to you this morning is that in Jesus Christ, your part of the relationship that you have with your Creator God is also met and fulfilled in such a way that it is impossible for God to see you as a failure. You see, the real problem with the Israelites was not simply that they disobeyed the commandments of God. I'd even say it was not simply that they worshipped other gods or intermarried or whatever commandment that they failed to keep. No, the real problem with the Israelites is that they failed to believe in the God who spoke. Our problem is not a moral one, first of all, friends. Their problem is a theological one. What God do we actually have? What God do we trust in? Every one of us has a God. We have something we believe in, we dedicate our lives to. The thing that brings us joy and happiness, at least we hope it will. What is that thing? If that thing is something beside the God who speaks in this word, it is someone beside the Jesus who is the fulfillment of those promises, then I challenge you this morning with what Joshua says here. The anger of God is rightly against those who reject God and his Son. But for those who believe in Jesus Christ, it is my joy to tell you this morning that as you look back over 2021 and 2020 and 2019, over the whole scope of your life, what you should see there is not your own failures and disappointments and frustrations, the things that you would want to change, the things that you wish were different, what you should see over the course of your life is a God who is at work shaping and molding you and using the circumstances of life so that you are drawn more and more to His Son and more reflect His image. Even the hardest things in life, he says in Hebrews 12, are meant to form you so that you would more and more appear as His children. Can you say that to be true? The hard things of life are not to be forgotten. They are to be treasured because they come from the hand of a promise-keeping God. What I want you to hear, even though these words are not included in Joshua 23, is that God is not only a promise-keeping God, and those promises are rooted in this character. God is a faithful God. And He is so faithful that He has given His Son for you. And because of that, not just 2021, but 2022 and every year that follows after it can be evidence of God's care for you. May you know, may you hear and believe that these promises of God are yours in Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we have so much that we can look back at in our lives. Things that we've forgotten. Events that have occurred in our own nation and across the world. Things that we have forgotten. But Father, You are not a God who forgets. And You're not a God who is absent. You're not a God who is simply waiting on the sidelines to see what will occur in our world. No, You are a God who is a God of history. You are a God of Your people. You are a God who cares for us. And so we hear these words this morning from Joshua chapter 23, not with words of fear, not with a sense of rejection, but we hear these words as words of comfort and encouragement, that You are a God who loves us and a God who has kept Your word to be faithful in our Savior. Father, I pray for each person who is here, for those people who are joining us over the internet stream, that Your word would be powerful and effective this morning. I pray for my heart and for the heart of each one that You would convince us and show us that You are a covenant-keeping and covenant-blessing God. Father, would You hear and answer this prayer, for we come in Jesus' name. Amen.